Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may happen to be on God's glorious earth, and welcome to Balance Point. Before we begin, let us bow our hearts in prayer. Father God, we just thank you, and we bless you, and we magnify your name for all that you are doing in us and through us. We thank you, Father God, for being a faithful God, a wonderful God, a glorious God. And we ask, Father God, that you would be with us during this study. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen and amen. Welcome to Balance Point. We are continuing our study in the Gospel of Luke. And we are putting in Luke chapter 2. It's been a little while since we have recorded anything and since we've been online. And as you can tell, our scenery behind us has changed. And that is because we have acquired a new place to call home. For both ourselves and for the Balance Point recordings and gatherings. We will be getting you the new addresses as soon as we get a few more things settled away, but we didn't want to go too much further without having begun the process of recording here in our new location. And so you will notice our sound quality is a little bit different, and we will be working on that. We'll be adding some sound insulation to this space. Anyway, turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 2. We're continuing our study in the Gospel of Luke, and today we turn our attention to the birth of Jesus. And we have a very, very special message that goes with the birth of Jesus. Something that I don't know that many have brought out of this particular passage, but as I was studying this, there's one verse that just totally struck me. And I pray that you'll find that it strikes you the same way. But Luke chapter 2. And we are going to be in verse 1. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census would be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, for there was no room for them in the inn. In that same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is called Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth among men with whom he is pleased. And when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem, then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. So this is Luke's account of the birth of Jesus. And there are several things that we need to look at as part of this account, one of which is the timing. Now, there are errors in the way that the calendar was calculated, the Julian calendar and Gregorian calendars. Hold that thought for a moment. And so, it is nominally words figured that Jesus was born somewhere between 2 BC and 6 AD. And they come up with this because of the errors in the calendars, but also because of the mention of Quirinius, who was the governor of Syria, who could not have been the governor of Syria before about 4 AD. So there is question of the timing of the birth of Jesus. But one thing that is not questioned, except for people who choose to remain willfully ignorant, is that Jesus was born. That there is no doubt. So what was this order that caused Mary and Joseph to go to Bethlehem? Well, it was an order for a census, in order to assess what would be an inheritance tax. And so in order for that assessment to be made, the citizens were required to go to the city of their family's origin. And in this case, the city of origin for Mary and Joseph, being of the house of David, is Bethlehem. And so they are traveling to Bethlehem for a taxation. Now we know something for sure about this travel. They were not in Bethlehem for a census in December. The roads in Judea, even in modern times, become somewhat treacherous in winter. And no ruler in his right mind, and some would argue that many of the Roman rulers were not in their right mind, but no ruler in his right mind is going to have people traveling in winter when the travel is going to be more difficult. So we know that Jesus was not born on December 25th. That is a tradition of the church that is not substantiated anywhere in the scripture or in history. So we know it's not December 25th because of that. We also know it's not in December 25th because in verse 8, we are told, in the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch in their flock. Shepherds are not out in the field in the region of Judea in winter. Again, the winters are just harsh, so the shepherds are going to have their flocks in a sheltered environment and the sheepfolds overwintering them. So we know it wasn't December 25th. So what is the important thing of this chapter? Well, the first thing that's important is Jesus was born. God sent his son into the world at that time, in order to save his people. And God gave a message through the angel of the Lord. And the message was this: do not be afraid. And the message that I bring to you, Balance Point, to those of you that follow Balance Point, to those of you who are part of the church, and to those of you who are not churched, is the same message that the angel brought from God. Do not be afraid. Why should we not be afraid? Because God is not angry. God is not upset. God is, in fact, later we find the phrase, pleased with man. But don't be afraid. Why? Because God has good news for us today. God has good news. In the midst of the glory of God, in the midst of God's glory shining forth in that night, God says, I have good news for you. And not just good news, but this news is going to bring you joy. Here's the thing. Jesus coming into the world, God sending a Savior into the world, is not a cause for fear, but a cause for joy. And it's a cause for joy for all people. Now, there are going to be some people that are not going to be joyful at this message. And those are people who have willingly turned their back on God. But if you have a tender heart, if you have a heart, if you are seeking more than going to work, coming home, going to bed, and paying the bills. If you are seeking meaning in life beyond, you know, simply existing, this is good news. Because you see, the alternative to this news is the news of destruction. Now, I am not one who preaches doom and gloom and hellfire. But there can be no good news without the corresponding bad news. And the bad news is this: while God is well pleased with humanity, God is not pleased with sin. God is not pleased with what sin does in us and to us. God is not pleased that sin causes such a defect in us that we cannot be in his presence. Because in our sinful state, if we were to be fully exposed to that which is God, we would be destroyed utterly. And so that is why the angel says that today, I bring good news. Why? For today, in the city of David, there is born a Savior. There is born one who will save humanity. And I love this. I wish that the Bible translated like proper names, but it doesn't. But let me read this to you, translating the proper names. For today, in the city of the beloved of God, that's David, we know that city is Bethlehem. Bethlehem comes from two roots: Bet, meaning house; Lehem, meaning bread. So for today, in the city of the beloved, the house of bread, There is born to you a Savior who is anointed the Lord. Christ there is Greek, Christos, meaning anointed. The Hebrew would be Mashiach, means the anointed. The one whom God has set apart. But not just the one whom God has set apart, but it is God himself. For today, in the city of the beloved one, that's what David means, beloved of God, there's born for you a Savior who is the anointed, the Lord. That's the good news. The good news isn't that, you know, God sent some sacrificial lamb down to die on our behalf. The good news is that God himself anointed himself to come down to be a Savior, to fill the house of bread, to fill the house that feeds the hungry. Why? Because we are beloved of the Lord. We're beloved of the Lord. And watch this. And God is so good because he doesn't just leave it hanging like, oh, well, you know what, this is a great thing that's happened. But he gives a proof. He says, to this day, this will be a sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger. You know, God did not come down from heaven to be born in a palace. For then it would be said only the rich could be saved. God did not come down from heaven to be born in the house of a general. Because if he had, then it could be said that only the powerful could be saved. No. God was born in a stable. And what does that say? That says that anybody can be saved. And you know God has a sense of humor because God sends his angels to the shepherds. Now you got to understand something about shepherds. Back in the day, even though they had the sacrifices in the temple, you would think that because of the sacrifice in the temple, shepherds would be at least honored because, you know, they're raising the sheep that are going to be used in the worship of God. But no, in fact, back then, shepherds were looked down on. They were looked down on so much that in the Jewish courts, in the Jewish society, the only people whose testimony was considered lower than the shepherds were women. Shepherds were looked down upon as being uneducated, smelly, uncouth. And yet, who were the first evangelists? The shepherds. And the message here is very simple. The Word of God is not simply for the educated. The Word of God is not simply for the wealthy. The Word of God is not simply for the cool and inside and hip person. No. The Word of God is for everybody. And so these angels appear to the shepherd. And when the angel of the Lord delivered his message, a praise broke out. Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Why? Because God himself had made himself the lowest. In making himself low, he exalted himself. In making himself the servant born in a manger, he got himself the name which is above every other name. at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Glory to God in the highest. In other words, glory to the highest God. Glory, more glorious than Mother Nature. More glorious than your favorite tree that you hug. More glorious than worshiping yourself in the mirror. No, glory to God in the highest. And not only that, because of this birth, on earth, there is peace among men. There is shalom. There is Salem. The book of Hebrews speaks of Christ as being a priest in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is this strange person that blows into the pages of history in Genesis, whom meets Abraham on the way back from the slaughter of the kings. And Abraham pays this priest a tithe. And Melchizedek blesses Abraham. But as Hebrews points out, there's no genealogy mentioned for him. There's no birth, there's no death. And I mention Melchizedek because of this line, and on earth, peace to men. Melchizedek, another name that's not translated, but the name Melchizedek comes from three Hebrew roots. Malek, king. Sedek, righteousness. He was the king of what? Salem. He was the king of peace. He was the king of righteousness. And so the angels could declare, and the angels still do declare, even though we don't see much peace now, peace on earth among men. Why? Because our King of Righteousness has come down. Our King of Peace has been among us and is among us. And so we can have peace. We can be at peace. There are things going on in the world, and I'm not going to mention them because then it dates the message. And there is great fear right now. Great unsettlement right now. There are governments that are trembling right now. There are people who are stockpiling stuff because they have no peace. They're concerned about what may come and they're living in fear. But as the angel said, do not fear. Do not be afraid, for I bring you great news, good news of great joy. Why do we not have to fear? Because God has been glorified in the highest through Jesus, who is the King of our righteousness, the King of our peace, the King of our prosperity, the King of our healing, the King of our blessing, the King of our vision, the King of our wisdom, the King of our strength. We can be at peace, both inside of ourselves and with those around us. We can be at peace. We can be at peace. And most of all, we can be at peace with God. Why? Because of the second part of verse 14. With whom he is pleased. Who is God pleased with? God is pleased with man, with mankind. If God took no pleasure in mankind, he would not have sent his son. If God had no pleasure in mankind, when our genetics and our race was being corrupted in the days of Noah, God would not have bothered to save the eight on the ark. If God was not well pleased with mankind, he would not have bothered to pass down his oracles through the Jewish people. He would have just left us in the dark. He would have just walked away. He would, best case scenario, he'd walk away. Worst case scenario, he'd just wipe the place totally and not leave eight this time. No. God is well pleased. Now, I know what you're saying, but what about all those sermons I've heard about God being angry? Yes, God is angry with sin. But you are not sin. You're human. God is angry with what sin does to us, because sin makes it not possible for us to be with him, and he loves us dearly. Would you not get angry if you had a person that you loved and there was a situation that kept that person from you? You wouldn't be angry at the person, but wouldn't you be angry at the thing that keeps you away from them? Well, that's what God is. God is angry about sin. But he's not angry at you. If he was angry at you, he wouldn't have bothered to save you. If he was angry at you, he would not have bothered to forgive you. And by the way, whether you are currently walking with God or not, you are already forgiven. You see, the cross was about God settling the debt of sin. Now, whether you're saved or not is another question. Because being saved is different than being forgiven. Being forgiven means that it is now possible for the Holy Spirit to take up residence within you. For God's very own being and presence. In Genesis 2, where it talks of God forming the clay of the earth into a man and breathing life into him. The life that was breathed into him was called the Ruach, the very Spirit of God. But because of sin, that Spirit had to withdraw, lest we be utterly destroyed. But God desires to live in each and every one of us. And so, God, being well pleased with man, sent his Son to bear the sin of the world so that the accounts could be wiped clean. So, you are forgiven. Now the question is, will you be saved? Will you be saved? God's done his part. He's done everything necessary in order to clear the way for you to be saved. Now it's up to you. It's up to me. Because you see, God is not going to invade. God is not going to overthrow. God is not going to bust down the borders of your will and force himself upon you. But God has made the provision for you to be saved. And all it requires is for you to make a choice. You can choose to change the way that you think and you believe, and invite God into your life and invite God into your heart. And here is the cool thing. Because you have been saved, God will be able to come in, take up residence, and live within you and live through you. You see, the Savior is also the one who is the Redeemer. The Savior is Christ. He is the one who bore our sins. And that is the good news. That is the good news today and every day. that God is pleased. God loves you. You may not like you. Your friends may not like you. Your family may not like you. But let me tell you, God loves you. And you need to understand that. God loves you. And God desires you. He is so well pleased with you that he desires you. Even though you're broken. And guess what? Even though I'm broken. Just because I teach here don't mean that I'm perfect. I am far from perfect, let me tell you. But let me also tell you that because of the death of Christ, I've been made perfect in the heavenlies. And as we walk around on this earth, I am simply walking towards that perfection. Am I there yet? Nope. Will I get there this side of death? Nope. Are you there yet? Nope. And let me tell you, Balance Point, we're not a perfect church. We're far from perfect. But what we are people who are living to the glory of God and enjoying the bounty of his life. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you and we bless your name and we give you honor, we give you praise, we give you glory. We thank you for being God and for doing what only you could do, that is saving us. Father God, we've been wrong in the past about who you are and who we are. And we ask, Father God, for your forgiveness, for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you, Father God, for these things. In the name of your Son, amen. If you would like more information, we would love for you to contact us. You can. Come on. Oh, no, we're not getting it. Let's go this way. You can contact us. By going to our ministry center at www.balance-point.org. There you'll find our messages. You'll find out a little bit about us. You'll find a few useful tools that we found to be handy over the years in our Christian walk. I'm having so much fun here today. If you need prayer, we are a praying church. You can send your prayer requests to our email box at prayer@balance-point.org. That's prayer@balancepoint.org. And if you want your prayer to be kept confidential, just put in the subject line confidential, and that will just be routed only to myself and and our leadership team here at Balance Point. For all other inquiries, you could just email us at our staff email box, which is just staff@balancepoint.org. And we do read all emails and we attempt to respond as quickly as possible. And we will be resuming live worship. Now we have a space that can support live worship. Praise God. And you can get information about that by, again, emailing staff@balance-point.org. And we will eventually be going back fully online once we get all settled in. We thank you for joining us. We do ask that you would keep us in your prayers always, because we thrive on the prayers of God's people. And now receive the blessing. May the God of heaven and earth, who is well pleased with you, bless you with every spiritual and heavenly blessing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And all of God's people said, Amen.